This morning, I'll be reading Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 17. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Well, what we're going to talk about this morning is not all of those issues that go on with that God is trying to tell us about in that passage, but we're going to talk about the sword of the Spirit, and we're going to talk about personal Bible study, so to speak, this morning. That's what we're going to be discussing. If you look at this, just like Brian just read, you got the belt of truth and you've got the breastplate of righteousness and the feet that are shod with the gospel and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, and then you've got the sword of the Spirit. Do you notice in that list that God only gives an explanation of one of them? Now, if you look at it, if you put it up like we've got it up here, you can see that very obviously. There's only one thing that he feels compelled, that God feels compelled to explain just a little bit, and that happens to be the sword of the Spirit. Now, if you're in a physical battle, you know, which if you were back in the olden days when they had this kind of equipment, what is the one thing you could not do without? And we all know which one it is. You get by without shoes, it wouldn't be fun, but you could do it. You could get by without a helmet. You could get by without a shield. But if you don't have your sword, you're not a soldier, you're a target. It's what you are. Now, every time when I was growing up, that I would hear a preacher preach about this, he would get a yardstick, and that would be his sword. Well, we're going to go one better than that this morning. I hid here in the bushes so nobody would see it already. I just happened to have a real sword, and it is mine. I have two of them. I have another one in the office. If somebody wanted to go get it, we could display swordsmanship here with this. But this is genuine Chinese steel, made in China. And it is a replica of a dress sword, or the dress sword, from Stonewall Jackson. Mike Wilson bought both those swords for me. So we'll just use this as our illustration. It is not sharp at all, but it is sharp here. You could kill somebody with this pretty easy if you just jabbed it into them. Okay, you're out there fighting. Everybody's got a sword. You don't have one. You got nothing. You know what? That's what God's trying to say here with this. That's why he explains what the sword of the Spirit is. If you don't have this, you got nothing. Really? You're nothing but a target. What do you think Satan's going to do to you? What do I think Satan's going to do to me if I don't have the Word of God in my hand, because it defends me and it also slays the enemy? That's what he has given to accomplish all of this. So what happens when somebody doesn't use the Word of God like they ought to? What happens when somebody doesn't know the Word of God like they ought to? I mean, you find yourself in exactly the same position that the Hebrew writer talks about over in Hebrews when he said, by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you're still a child. You're still a baby. And just to be perfectly frank, and I'm not trying to be mean with this, because this is what the Hebrew writer basically says, you have nobody to blame but yourself for that. Now, here's the deal. When I start thinking about this and the way we talk about this and all this, I'm not trying to browbeat anybody into Bible study, and neither is God. Everything that we do in life really is simply based on a personal decision to do it. I can't make somebody love me. They're either going to do it or they're not. And nobody can make me love them. That is a decision. And the same thing is true with God. He can't make you take this sword and use it correctly. He just offers it to you. That's all that goes on with any of that. And that's true with all of these that God gives here. Every single one of these, He offers them. And it's up to us to just accept them and to use them in the right kind of way. But I say again, if you don't have a sword, you're simply a target. And Satan is going to go after you. And he's going to win. Mark it down. He's going to win because I have not equipped myself to defend myself with what God has given me to do it. And that's what this is all about when we talk about any of this, when we talk about especially this part of the armor of God. So, okay, just make one step further with all of this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, really familiar passage of Scripture. Ephesus, the Ephesians passage that we just looked at, when Paul writes to Timothy, Timothy is in Ephesus. So we're in Ephesus all over the place here with all of this. Timothy has the Holy Spirit. Every Christian gets it when they become a child of God. Timothy also has spiritual gifts in the sense that Paul says he's got a gift that has been given to him by the laying on the hands of the presbytery. He's got a spiritual gift. So what does Paul say is the key to Timothy's life about this relationship that he has with God and the word of truth? Well, what he says is I want you to study. I want you to engage in Bible study. That's the key. It's the key for Timothy and it's the key for us too. You know, sometimes I think today, and I guess it's always been this way, when people talk about the sword of the Spirit and they talk about what the Spirit does for us and a number of other things, they go down the path of He gives you this inner direction and He helps you make decisions and does a number of different things, including miracles. And it's interesting to me that that is not what Paul just said here to Timothy. Timothy had the Holy Spirit because he was a Christian. Timothy had a spiritual gift because the apostles had laid hands on him. And he doesn't even talk about that, does he? What does he talk about? He talks about the sword of the Spirit. That's what he talks about. And he tells Timothy, here's what I want you to do. I want you to study so that you can be approved to God. A working man that does not need to be ashamed. Because you handle the Word of God accurately. You take that sword and you use it like God intended for it to be used. And you know what? It's not just for Timothy, is it? It's for Timothy's family. It's for his children, if he has children. It's for his wife's sake that he has to use that sword correctly. Because he defends them too. And it's for the people that he preaches to. It's to his brethren. It's to the people that he comes in contact with. The same thing is true for us. We need to use this sword and use it right and use it well, not just for our sake, but for other people's sake too. For the sake of the fact that we love God. That's the New King James Version right there. The New American Standard says, be diligent. Be diligent. To present yourself approved to God, a working man who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the Word of God. Because that's where Satan is slayed and he isn't slayed anywhere else. We don't slay Satan with our personality. We don't slay Satan with anything but with the Word of God because that's the sword that God has given us to provide this defense as we've already said, not just for ourselves, but for everybody else. So it is extremely important that we just simply recognize that this is what God wants. And you have to put the time in. You have to be diligent. You have to study. And you have to do it on your own. Taking advantage of every opportunity, like worship services, is really important. No doubt about that. Taking advantage of the Bible classes that we have together. That's really important. No doubt about that. We need to do everything we can do to make sure we carry a sharp sword. Because when God hands it to us, it is razor sharp. It will do the job. But if we dull it on our own, if we dull it because of in use, if we dull it because of a bad attitude, if we dull it with false doctrine, if we break it, it is not going to help us at all. We're taking the very thing that God has given us for self-protection and we're just throwing it away. Can't do that. Not what God wants. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And God constantly talks about the Word of truth as He uses that in both of these as we look at these two passages of Scripture in connection with that. All right, now, how serious is this? Well, we all know, but we'll just talk about it just a minute because God talks about it, and He talks about it once again in Ephesians. Notice this. This is Ephesians 4, verse 14. The previous verses have said, and He gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. You know how that goes. But then He gets down to this, and this is the why. This is why you need a sharp sword. You need the one that God's given you. Then we will no longer be immature like children. That's kind of interesting that He uses that kind of analogy when the Hebrew writer used exactly the same kind of analogy when he said, you have need of milk and not meat because you haven't got your senses exercised. We'll be no longer immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. Do you read these? And it's okay. I'm not saying it's wrong. But do you read these new books that guys write and gals write? All these books that are religious books that people write and they just sound so wonderful. We talked about one of them. That was really a few weeks ago now. It's the book by Rob Bell, which is so popular, which has created an absolute firestorm in the religious community when he said, basically, that there's no such thing as hell. Do you know how many people have believed him about that? Read on with this. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. We will not be convinced. Why? Because of this. Because we've got this. We understand this. We know how to use this. We see what it says. And people will misuse this. They will manipulate this. They will change this from what it actually says. And they will do it so cleverly that it just sounds like the truth and all kinds of people believe it. Our friends believe it. Our children believe it. Whole groups of people believe it, and it's nothing but a lie. That's why you need to carry a sharp sword. That's why I need to carry a sharp sword. It's so that I'll be able to know. I'll be able to treat God's Word like God wants me to treat it. So we won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. It's all about God's Word. It's all about that sword and my ability to use it correctly. That's how serious this is. But it's also in Ephesians chapter 6, which is previous to what Brian just read. Have you ever noticed this? For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. Oh, how easy it would be if that were true. It would be so much easier if there were just some guys standing out in the parking lot And we go look at them, and they're all about 6 feet tall and weigh about 220 or whatever, and we'd just send some of these guys out that are bigger than them and go fight them. That'd be so much easier. But that's not who you fight against. That's not who I fight against. See what he says? For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities in unseen worlds. Do you know who is after you? Evil authorities, evil rulers that you can't even see, that are infinitely more powerful than you or I are. Infinitely more. That's who we're fighting against. And he goes on to say, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. Do you know why this is so important? You can't fight it with any other tool but that, because no other tool will work. That's why God gave it to us. That's why we need God's Word so much in our lives. And that's why we need to be in God's Word, truly in God's Word, using it like God wants it. Because they're trying to slay us with falsehood. And Satan is after us in that kind of way. So, one more. You know, what happens is people read about, and rightfully so, they read about the grace that God talks about in Romans chapter 8. But they just kind of don't want to necessarily deal with the dangers of the Christian life in Galatians chapter 5. Or they will rejoice, and rightfully so, in the beauty of John 3:16, but they don't want to deal with the horror of what Hebrews talks about in Hebrews chapter 10. If we treat God's Word fairly, if we use that sword accurately, we're going to understand all of the passages in context. See, here's what happens, I think. People will say, and this is really common today, they'll say, I just want to preach the love of Jesus. I just want to preach the greatness of the salvation. I don't want to get off into all of these other doctrinal issues. You have broken your sword that God has given you if that's your attitude. Because God didn't give us only Romans 8. He also gave us Galatians 5. See? I don't know how many times I've heard this recently, but it's funny the places that I've heard this. I mentioned in our Sunday morning Bible study a few weeks ago about people who are spiritual but not religious. That's become real common. And I've been surprised at the places that I've heard it. I was listening to Mark Levin. I never listened to Mark Levin, ever. His voice irritates me. But so I don't know why. I just punched a button on this radio that I was had in the car, and Mark Levin comes on. And I'll be if he didn't start talking about this. Mark Levin started talking about it. That you can be religious, or you can be spiritual without being religious and not have anything to do with the church. That is false doctrine. Amen. That's somebody who has broken the sword that God has given them, and they're going to die. They're nothing but a target. Nothing but a target. See? So I just say, you know, if our sword, I knew I was going to do that, is going to be sharp, we're just going to have to deal with everything that God has to say about this. And I know you do. I know you want to, but we really do, because the world doesn't want to. They don't want all of this to be part of the message that we preach, but it's got to be part of the message because it is God's message. You ever notice, like in Matthew chapter 4, in verse 1 through verse 11, is the temptation of Jesus when he was led off into the wilderness to be tempted. And he slaughtered Satan in that confrontation. And every time he did so, he used the phrase, "It is written," and he quoted scripture. He used that sword right there. He used the very sword that he's handed us. He didn't use some supernatural sword. He didn't use anything that we don't have. He used exactly that sword and slaughtered Satan with it. It was razor sharp. Satan could not stand before him. Even when Satan tried to quote his own scripture, Jesus tore him apart with it. And rightfully so. And you know what he does? He takes that very sword and he hands it to you and he says, "Here, it's yours. Use it." And that's what Bible study is all about, is taking that sword and using it like we ought, when we can say, "It is written," even when people use the Bible and misquote it. That's what God wants us to use it for. Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, this fellow comes up and asks Jesus, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "How do you read?" Read what? Well, they all understood the scriptures. So Jesus said to him, "The answer is in the Word of God. The answer that you seek is in the Word of God." But he had further questions, which simply means he had dulled his sword. He was dealing with a dull sword because he had not read the scriptures and let his heart be carried by them to the right conclusions. And that's why Jesus goes on and tells him about the story of the Good Samaritan. He had the sword, but he had let it rust, and therefore he had fallen in his attitude toward other people in a very serious kind of way. Have you not read? Matthew chapter 12. Jesus, disciples on the grain fields, they take some grain. The Pharisees just attack him for that. And Jesus says, "Haven't you read what David did? Haven't you read what the priests do?" Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, marriage and divorce. They come up with this, accusation, basically. And he said, "Have you not read?" All of these passages go with this, "Have you not read?" The answers are in the Word of God. The answers are here. And that's what he used against them. And that's what God wants us to use against the false doctrine of our day. But it just doesn't happen. I know this may shock you, but when I was in junior high, I was not the best student in the world. I remember my dad saying, "If we could cut a hole in your head and pour it in, we would." And he was totally frustrated by the fact that I would not apply myself. And the point was, I had to work at it. And I didn't want to. That's not what I wanted to do. And a lot of times that's what Christians act like. They don't want to work at it. It's not what they want to do. So when I say, all of the things that we talk about, what we're talking about today, there's no way I'm trying to browbeat you into this. It wouldn't work that way anyway. I wouldn't want you to study because the preacher got up and used a good-looking sword and harangued everybody. That's not the way it works. It's because you want to. And that's what makes all the difference, doesn't it? When you do something for somebody else, it might get done, but it doesn't get done like it gets done when you want to do it for yourself and God the right way. And that's what God wants. That's what he wants in worship. That's what he wants in study. That's what he wants in all of this. And I guess one of the things, and we're talking about that this morning, is the whole idea of one of the motivators for all of this is what it'll do for us. Man, what it'll do for us. Unbelievably. So the "it is written" is really a big part of that. So here's our three things, all right? And we got to be dedicated. That's exactly what he said to Timothy. But there has to be a dedication level to studying God's Word. Daily dedication. You just, you know, if, and this is so easy to say, if you're too busy to study, then you're too busy. You need to cut something that isn't nearly as important out and study God's Word. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, because he rejoices in it. He rejoices in it. Same thing is true in Psalm 119 and verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Being able to see the beauty of God's Word, the beauty of the sword, really does make a difference. Because it'll change your life. It'll change your life in the sense of changing your life about your attitude toward the Word of God. It is just the most wonderful thing that's ever been given to us. It's where God speaks to us over and over again with the greatness of instruction and all of the things that He does there. And so that to be dedicated to that is really important, because then you'll see the change. You know, it's like working out in a gym or something. You may not be so excited about it when you first start, but when you begin to see the changes, then you get excited about it because you see what it's doing for you. Boy, nothing is more true than with God's Word with that. That's the only way it works. So the first thing when we start talking about carrying a sharp sword is this dedication part. The second thing is appreciation. So that comes with the understanding of how it is changing my life. This is in Luke and Matthew, two different places where this is recorded. This is Jesus talking to Jerusalem at the end of his public ministry. And he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. They did not appreciate Jesus at all, and they did not appreciate what he had to say. What's the next thing that is said here? You remember? Look, your house is left to you desolate. If there's not going to be an appreciation of God's Word, it will be taken away from us in some form or another. God's not going to fiddle around with people who don't appreciate Him. There has to be that power of the relationship when somebody is dedicated to the Lord and appreciates what's going on there with that. So our appreciation for God's Word is just paramount in all of this. In the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, the guy who had the few talents didn't appreciate what he had. So what he had was taken away from him, and he was thrown into outer darkness. It's all because of this lack of appreciation thing. In Amos chapter 8 in verse 11, God says to the people of Israel, I'm going to send a famine on you, and it isn't going to be a famine of corn, and it isn't going to be a famine of grain. It's going to be a famine of my word because you don't appreciate it. See, you know, and they just didn't. They did not appreciate what they had. So, Psalm 19 and verse 8. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. So, the sword becomes extremely important with dedication and appreciation, how it protects. Boy, you think about protecting your children with the truth in this wicked world that we have. You think about the ability to protect your friends who are falling and failing with the Word of God and ensuring, in that sense of the word, their eternal life and not their eternal destruction. There's got to be some appreciation there for that. Then our last one is application, and the most obvious passage is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17, and we're back where we started, really. We're back with, in Ephesus. We're back with Timothy. 2 Timothy is probably the last book that Paul wrote before he was martyred. And here again, Paul is writing to Timothy about what's going to make him solid. And he says, all Scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable for doctrine, which is the word teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, completely furnished unto all good works. It's all about the Scriptures. It's all about that sword. It's all about the Word of God, because that's what God has given us. Do you carry a sharp sword? God handed us a razor sharp one. And what, you know, what we've done to it is a reflection of our dedication and appreciation and application of what God has done. So please just think about that. It's really, really important. So there's our conclusion. Those three things, just bear those in mind. If there's somebody here today in our audience who would like to become God's child, to be saved by Jesus Christ, the sword says, repent of your sins, confess His name, and be immersed in baptism to become His child. That's what it says, and we can show you a lot of different scriptures that say just exactly that, so that's what we say. And if we can help you in any kind of way with prayer, come to the front while we stand and sing.